Are those who don't know Christ aware of the Lord's hand in your life? You see, if you know Christ, there's going to be something different in your life. They may not be able to recognize it, but there's going to be a difference in your life, even if you fail, because you still have a relationship with the living God, and Abraham was walking with the Lord.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, despite Abraham's failure, Abimelech was convicted that God was with Abraham. You know, Greg, when we fail, the consequences of those failures often affect those around us.
You know, Dave, that's right. And indeed, we're going to see today in the case of Abimelech in chapter 20 of Genesis that he experienced the collateral damage of Abraham's sin and also the restoration of his repentance. So with that in mind, we're going to see how this played out in a very serious meeting with Abraham and Abimelech. If you have a Bible handy, turn with us to Genesis chapter 1 as we continue our look at verses 22 to 34.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, it is your vindication before all who are with you, and before all men you are cleared. And then it's at this point we see Abraham responding rightly. I believe he did understand that he had failed. Notice verse 17. This is what the Lord God said Abraham would do. I don't see the Lord prompting him, but God said he would do that. And notice verse 17. And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So we have this previous incident which involved Abimelech, and it is apparent that Abraham is still sojourning in this area. And it's probably been about 4 years since this incident. And so Abimelech and his commander seek to make a covenant with Abraham. Back to chapter 21, verse 22. Now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, this is a pretty serious deal. You got the king of the Philistines, or Gerar, also coming to you with the commander of his army. This makes it a little more interesting. He comes to him. It's pretty serious. And what does he say? God is with you in all that you do. That's an amazing statement. God is with you in all that you do. Think about it. This pagan king recognizes that God is with Abraham in all that he does. Now, how does Abimelech know this? Well, certainly we saw in chapter 20 that the Lord God was addressing Abimelech in light of Abraham. This pagan king certainly understood that in that dream that he had. He also was told that he was a prophet by God and that he would pray for him, and he did pray for him, and his household was healed. We see the Lord intervened in the life of Abraham for Sarah's sake. It's also quite possible that Abimelech had heard of the miraculous birth of their son, Isaac. That's possible too. Abraham and Sarah, they are way past childbearing years, and here he is, little Isaac, right? It's also possible that Abimelech noticed the physical blessings that God had bestowed upon Abraham and all that he had done. So this king comes with the commander of his army and makes this tremendous statement, God is with you in all that you do. Now we'll see in a moment that Abraham had messed up, and that was apparent. Yet in spite of that, God was with him. In spite of that. He's a man of faith. He does mess up like you and I, but he is walking with the Lord. And we see him responding when he messes up. We see him repenting and turning when he messes up. We see him getting right with the Lord when he messes up. And it's interesting, we're going to see not only was God with Abraham in this context that people recognize this, but also later on with Isaac, chapter 26, verse 28, there is a similar recognition that God is with him. And with Jacob, chapter 30, verse 27, there is a similar recognition. And with Joseph in chapter 39, verse 3, there is a similar recognition that God is with these men. This pagan king says to him, with his commander next to him, God is with you in all that you do. Now, what's interesting is that he recognizes he's with him, but notice what he says. Now, therefore, verse 23, this is because God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity. Uh-oh. Why would he say that? He's saying, swear that you won't lie to me, that you won't deceive me. The implication is like you did with your sister before, right? This is very interesting. God is with you, therefore I promise you won't lie to me. It's a very interesting statement, like you did before. And he wants him to promise that this way he will treat him will apply to his offspring and his descendants or his posterity. And notice in contrast to calling Abraham to not lie to him, or deal falsely, notice he says, in contrast, but this is to deal with him, according, middle of verse 23, according to the kindness or chesed, loving kindness that I have shown you. You shall show me and to the land in which you have sojourned. Swear to me that you will not deal falsely with me and my offspring, but in contrast that you will deal with me according to the kindness that I have shown you as you have sojourned. This is a pretty interesting deal that Abimelech is trying to strike here with Abraham. God's with you, so don't deceive me, but be kind like I have been to you. The reality is when we fail, sometimes it doesn't go away, does it? Abimelech still has a view of Abraham that he might deal falsely with him. And yet God is with Abraham in spite of his failure. Now, I'm not saying that we can't blow our testimony. We can blow our testimony. There's no doubt that we can. But we do fail. And not every fail brings about a blown testimony. But we can. We see an example in Titus chapter 2. Turn there for a second concerning ladies. That the way that we respond to the Word of God can cause non-believers to respond wrongly to the Word of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, middle of verse 3. He's talking to older ladies, to teach the younger ladies. He says, the end of verse 3, actually, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, that's thinking rightly, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. And the reason why the older ladies should teach them these godly principles is that the word of God may not be dishonored or literally blasphemed, spoken against. You see, our behavior can cause non-believers to speak against the Lord and against his word. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. We can blow our testimony. There's no doubt about that. But yet, every little failure that we have in our life doesn't mean we've blown our testimony. We are going to fail. And Abraham, a man of faith, did fail, but yet God was with him. Matthew chapter 5, this is in the Sermon on the Mount, speaking to the blessed. Those are ones who have a real relationship with the living God. If you have been redeemed, if your sins have been forgiven, you are blessed. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. And that's not speaking of preservative, that's speaking of taste. Notice what he says. But if the salt has become tasteless, you're the flavor of the earth. But if the flavor, salt, has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You can blow your testimony. If you live like the world and walk like the world, you can blow your testimony. And the reality is God is blasphemed and our testimony is trampled under by the earth. But yet within our passage, we recognize that we're not perfect, that we make mistakes, that we do fail at times around those who are not saved, don't we? We say things that are wrong. We act in the wrong way. We do fail. It's not justifying it. But even though Abraham had failed and it was clear to Abimelech, it was also clear to Abimelech that God was with him. You see, Abraham was a man of faith who turned to the Lord from those failures. And although this failure has not disappeared, Abimelech still knows about it, yet he recognizes God is with Abraham. And he calls upon Abraham to deal with him in the same way that he has dealt with Abraham, in the context of loving kindness. By the way, that's the way we should deal with the world, in the context of kindness. You know, it is very easy for kindness and truth to leave us when we see the wickedness of the world. As I was traveling this week, I saw just the wickedness of people who don't know Christ. And it is tempting to become judgmental in our attitudes. Yes, certainly we need to recognize sin is sin for what it is. But we need to have a heart of compassion and kindness towards those who are lost, who need Christ. Not a heart of compromise, but a heart of compassion. And this pagan is asking Abraham to deal with him according to loving kindness. How are your dealings with those around you in the world? Are you arrogant, snotty, self-righteous, bad attitudes? You know what? I catch myself where I see sin and wickedness, and I catch myself starting to have a bad attitude towards people, and it's sin. And I got to confess it. We need to be kind. And even this pagan says that you would deal kindly with me and not deceive me. So Abimelech's an interesting guy. He's a pagan, but he's been influenced, and he is aware of the Lord's hand upon Abraham. He is aware. Now I want to ask you this, brothers and sisters. Are those who don't know Christ aware of the Lord's hand in your life? You see, if you know Christ, there's going to be something different in your life. They may not be able to recognize it, but there's going to be a difference in your life, even if you fail, because you still have a relationship with the living God, and Abraham was walking with the Lord. Do they recognize something different about you, or are you just like them? Even in the church, we have people who don't know Christ in this church. Do they see something different about you, or are you like them? We're not perfect. We fail. But if we are true believers, the Lord's hand is going to be on our lives. And it's going to be evident to others. Abimelech's an interesting guy. He's a pagan, but he's influenced by and aware of the Lord's hand. And notice Abraham's response. He says, verse 24, Abraham said, I swear it. You know, this is a humble acknowledgement by Abraham that he is and has deceived him, by the way. He could have said, what are you talking about? I didn't treat you badly. No, he did treat him badly. He did deceive him. He doesn't argue with this at all. He says, I swear it. I swear it. You see a humble response by a man of faith. He is not trying to justify his previous failures. He is saying, I swear it, I'll deal with you this way. It's an acknowledgement of his failure in the past. And brothers and sisters, for God to use us, we need to be rightly seeing ourselves. Certainly Abraham was forgiven, but yet he understood that he had failed. Now the question we need to ask is, why does God give us this account? Why is he giving us this account? First of all, we need to see that the Lord is working in Abraham's heart. You see, Abraham is just like us. Although he is a man of faith who trusted the Lord, his failures and setbacks were evident, but yet the Lord is using them to grow him in the faith. Abraham also, at times, practically speaking, forgot that the Lord was with him. You see, if he had known the Lord was with him and would be faithful to his promises, he wouldn't be saying, this is my sister, would he? He'd be trusting the Lord. And the Lord is using a pagan to remind Abraham of the truth and reality that God is with him. You see, sometimes the Lord will do that with us. He will use circumstances and events to remind us of his truth, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he is faithful, that he is with us, even in the midst of our failures. Not that he approves of them, because we're disciplined for them, but yet he is making us like his son. And Abraham is being instructed by a pagan concerning God's sovereign hand over his life, even in the context of his failure previously. So what do we need to learn from this? We need to realize that the Lord is with us. We need to not fear in situations. We need to trust the Lord. When those situations come upon us and we are tempted to lean on our own understanding for our own protection, and as we will see, for our own provision, we need to trust the Lord. Believe his promises. You see, there are so many promises concerning God's care for believers. We should never fear for our lives. But we're going to be tempted, aren't we? Let's take a look at some of those promises. Psalm 3. Let's turn there. We'll look at a few psalms concerning God's providential care of his people. God loves us. Abraham had a lapse. And yet he is walking with the Lord, but he is being reminded, even through a pagan, that God is with him in all that he does. Psalm 3, verse 1. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. How hard is that? The sword didn't leave his family. His son is after him to kill him. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies on the cheek. Thou hast shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing be upon thy people, Selah. Go to Psalm 5, and let's look at verse 8. There are so many psalms concerning God's sovereign protection of his people. Now, I'm not talking about testing the Lord thy God. I'm talking about trusting the Lord thy God in the context of his promises. Certainly, there are those who die. Certainly, there are those who are persecuted unto death. But that is in the context of God's sovereign decision of when he wants to take us home. And until that time, he will protect us. Psalm 5, verse 8, O Lord, lead me in thy righteousness because of my foes. Make thy way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God, by their own devices. Let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against thee. But let all who take refuge in thee be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and mayest thou shelter them, that those who love thy name may exult in thee. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord. Thou dost surround him with favor as a shield. The Lord is with you in all that you do. When we are righteous because of Christ, the Lord is with us in all that we do. Psalm 18, up a little farther. For the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. It's interesting. He spoke it to the Lord. And he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry before him came to his ears. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. Is he your strength and shield in every situation in your life? Is the Lord your strength and your shield? And he says, my heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts and with song I will thank him. That's why we're singing here. The Lord is their strength and he is a saving defense to his anointed. Verse 9 of Psalm 28. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance by their shepherd also and carry them forever. Let me just share another one here. Psalm 84, verse 11. And it's all over. I could have read through a trillion psalms here and you'd be seeing God's sovereign protection of his people. Psalm 84, 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he uphold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee. Oh, and there's so many more. You can look it on your own time in Psalm 91, Psalm 115, Psalm 121. The Lord will guard your going and your coming out from this time forevermore. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord look to and fro that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Let me share two New Testament passages also. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's turn there. We don't need to fear evil. Trust the Lord. He is with us. We don't need to fear anything but the Lord. But you know what? We fail and we need to be reminded, don't we? We do. And Abraham needed to be reminded. He's walking with the Lord in our passage, but he needed to be reminded of his failure and that God was faithful, that God is with him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified. We pray for that, for the radio. That's what I pray, that the word of the Lord would be glorified and spread rapidly, just as it did also with you. And then notice what he's asking for prayer also, Paul is, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from who? From the evil one. God is with us. He'll protect us. He'll protect us. We need to be reminded of that. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let me read this to you. Feel free to turn there too. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your character be free of the love of money. Be content with what you have. And he's going to tell you what you have, believer. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor desert you. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? What can man do if God is with us? Man can only do what God sovereignly allows for his glory and our ultimate good. God is with you, Abraham, in all that you do. God is using a pagan to remind him of the truth. But some of you say, what about believers who died? Brother and sister, God sovereignly decides. You can look at Psalm 139. He knows our days. He knows the days ordained for me. Psalm 139, David says, when there was not one of them. We need not fear. God will protect us. We don't live in a time where we are threatened as much, physically speaking, but that time may change. We certainly are threatened by the evil one. We are threatened in that context. God will protect us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, the fact that God is with us, even when we disobey due to fear or self-indulgence, is reassuring. We may compromise our witness, but all is not lost.
Certainly, Dave, indeed, all is not lost because we're still children of God. But yet we will experience a divine spanking at times because he is our loving Heavenly Father and he disciplines those whom he loves. As we saw in our passage today, Abraham was walking in obedience at this time, but even so, God used Abimelech, a pagan king, to remind Abraham of the fallout that occurs when he walked in fear instead of faith. Now my prayer is that we will internalize these truths from Scripture and remember our Lord's words in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.